सिकंदर
या यस
कभी।
माता जी?
हाँ Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 30th chapter, 28th verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavach Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. To give brief introduction of Prabhuji, I'll hand over the call to Hari Swarup Prabhu. Prabhuji, please take out the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. For Prabhuji, His Grace is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanand Swami Maharaj and came to Krishna consciousness in 2005. He did doctorate in material science from Penn State University, USA. And he got convincing from the philosophy, but he has a doubt if it can be applied in our daily life, right? By seeing living examples, he decided to try it out. Currently, he's doing growing flower services for the deities in Govardhan Eco Village and teaching in various cities like Pune, Vrindavan, Kolkata, Kanpur, and Thane. So let's welcome His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhu by saying three times Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Prabhuji, please take over the call and enlighten us. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to address this August gathering here. Very grateful. So very happy to see His Grace Ras Vilas Prabhu also. It's very nice after a long time and able to see him. So we will start with the invocation. नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो Thank you very much for joining, and I would like to, I'll be using a PPT, hope it's okay.
Yes, know, just you are the co-host, you can start sharing.
Okay. So, so I will just start. So we will read the verse and we will read Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport, and then we will take the discussion further. Okay, so I'll just read. So you can follow, you don't have to unmute yourself, but I think you can read it with me. Navyavad hridaye yajno brahmai tad brahma vadibihi namuyanti na shochanti na hrishyanti yato gataha. So this is Canto 4, Chapter 30, verse number 20. This is the last verse where the Supreme Lord is instructing the Prachetas. The translation. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the absolute truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma Bhuta situation. So this is the last verse that the Supreme Lord speaks to the Prachetas. We will read Srila Prabhupada's purport to this, very, very nice purport. So Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, If one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Even Prithamaraj says this, that Vidatsva Karana Yutam Eshamevara, in the fourth canto only, in one of his prayers he says, my dear Lord, if at all you want to give me a benediction, please give me thousands of ears so that wherever Krishna Katha is happening, I could hear it. Srila Prabhupada then continues. He says, there is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. So Prabhupada now, he is qualifying. Even though Prabhupada is mentioning in the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all day and night and never feel tired. So at this point, while we continue discussing further, while we continue reading Prabhupada's purport further, you can just reflect on this statement. If it sounds absolutely perfectly applicable to you, so you don't have to answer right now, but you can just reflect on this point. And Prabhupada also says, the devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. I mean, this is also something to be reflected upon, because this might be contrary to popular perception, you know, maybe based on what others have shared with you, or maybe at some stage in our own lives, we might have felt hackneyed, stereotyped, stagnant. I mean, of course, depends from person to person, but it's a subject matter to ponder upon and discuss. We will discuss on this matter. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is situated in everyone's heart and that he helps the living entity forget and remember. Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha sarvasya chaham hridisanyu vishto, Krishna says. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. So Prabhupada quotes this famous verse, one of the four chatushloki, the third one. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. He says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And Prabhupada continues. As stated, kushala karmanam, those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the super soul described in this verse as gya, one who knows everything past, present and future. The super soul gives instructions to the sincere unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the supreme personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the super soul, the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. So that brings us to the end of Srila Prabhupada's purport. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं हरे कृष्ण ओके सो वी विल ऐ विल् स्टार्ट् बै डूङ्ग् अ वेरि क्विक् रीकेप् आफ् द लार्ड्स् इन्स्ट्रक्षन्स् टु द प्रचेतास् ही स्पीक्स् आल्मोस्ट् लैक् 13-14 वर्सस् दिस् इस् द लास्ट् आफ् दोस् वर्सस् So I will do a quick recap of what you would have already seen and discussed in the last maybe couple of weeks. The Supreme Lord says, Varam vrinidvam bhadram vo yuyamme nripanandanaha sauhardena apritak dharmas tushtoham sauhurdenava. So he says, all fortune to you, O Prachetas. Varam vrinidvam please ask me for any benediction. Yuyam sauhardena by your mutual friendship. Apritak dharmaha. You have the same qualities. Sometimes you see twins or triplets. I'm sure twins at least you would have had an experience. So generally they tend to gel quite well. I mean, it's not a universal principle, but generally, at least I have seen my own cousin sisters. They gel quite well. They're very good mutual friendship. And they have more or less similar qualities, I can say. Tushto aham vaha sauhrdena. Actually, the Supreme Lord is pleased with the mutual friendship of devotees. So, then he says, Yonu smarati sandhyayam yushman anudinam naraha tasya bhratrushu atmasamyam tata bhuteshu sauhridam. One who remembers you brothers daily in the evening will have friendship to all beings and close friendship with his brothers. So many times Bhagavatam gives various kinds of phalashrutis. Like for example, some of the episodes may have a phalashruti where the author says that whoever has heard this episode with faith will get wealthy or can get any of their material desires fulfilled or spiritual desires fulfilled, like that. So, or one may say that whoever hears this episode with great relish and faith gets unlimited piety. So now we understand that I am supposed to hear Srimad Bhagavatam without any other material desire. The only desire should be to please Krishna. So how do I understand this? So actually Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions various different kinds of phalashrutis or fruits in order to attract other people also. So even though Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhita, it is meant only for the pure devotees. But other devotees also should be attracted to the path of pure devotional service. And one of the ways in which Bhagavatam accomplishes this is through these kind of phalashrutis, which may seemingly be attractive to such people. But it is not necessary that these kind of phalashrutis will work on devotees. So for devotees, there is only one phalashruti, irrespective of whatever episode of Bhagavatam that we might hear. That phalashruti is Krishna Prem, nothing less than that. Even though that particular episode may promise various different kinds of material fruits, but the devotee should not be afraid, or the devotee, still worse, the devotee should not be eager. So the only benefit that devotees are guaranteed is actually pure devotional service, Krishna Prem. For example, in the 9th canto, in describing the Surya Vamsha, there is an episode of Narmada and Purukutsa. Very brief, only three. The whole pastime is only three verses. Okay. But of those three verses, one is a Phalashruti. So the Phalashruti of that episode is that whoever hears this episode of Narmada and Purukutsa shall never have fear of death due to snakes. Okay. So this is the Phalashruti. Now if you see, this is Shukadeva Goswami narrating this to Parikshit Maharaj. And the history says that Parikshit Maharaj himself, one of the cause, at least the cause of his passing away is, from at least from an external point of view, is snake bite. So the point is, but he was not bereft of Krishna Prem. So he was Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnu Gata. He says that so let that takshak come and bite me, I don't care. You just please speak Krishna Katha, like that Parikshit Maharaj says. So therefore, we should understand that these various kinds of phalashrutis are there just to attract other people. But for pure devotees, any episode of Bhagavatam will only take us one step closer to achieving Krishna Prem and nothing less than that. Even for that matter, sometimes devotees keep forwarding each other the glories of Putrada Ekadashi or Kamada Ekadashi or Shattila Ekadashi and so on, where many different kinds of material benefits are suggested. And these are from bona fide Puranas. Okay. But the point is that the various Vedic literatures are meant for people with different kinds of faiths. Not every verse of every Purana or Upanishad is meant for inspiring pure devotees. So these various kinds of Ekadashi Mahatmyas that we read, they generally tend to have some material fruit. And ideally, we should not be circulating this to devotees to inspire them, because we follow Ekadashi because Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told. Madhava Titi means any date which is very close to Krishna, like Ekadashi, Janmashtami, etc., is Bhakti Janani. When we follow them, it enhances our surrender to Krishna. It enhances our mood of love towards Krishna. So, Jatane Palana Kori. So, one practices them with great eagerness. For that purpose, one should do. So, those other material fruits are given to attract other kind of mixed devotees, and it's not meant for us like that. So, in further few verses also, he'll be giving some material benefits of hearing, you know, chanting Rudra Geet and, you know, hearing your episode of the Prachetas, like that he says. Yetu mam Rudra Geetena sayam prata samahitaha stuvanti aham kamavaran dasye pragyam cha shobanam. To those with attention, to those who with attention in the morning and evening glorify me by the song of Shiva, I will give anything they desire and glorious wisdom. Yadyuyam pituradesham agrahishta mudanvitaha atova ushati kirtir lokan anubhavishyati. He says, Yadyuyam pituradesham agrahishta mudanvita. Because you have accepted the order of your father with great joy. Ato vaha anubhavishyati lokan ushati kirti. You will become very, very famous in this world. And of course, we do understand that as devotees, we are not supposed to perform devotional service with the desire for fame. But the fact is, even though devotees may not want fame, but the fame personified, she thinks that there is no other person who is worth my association, or she feels rather I would like to take the association of those who have surrendered themselves to Krishna. So they will not be bereft of fame. They will definitely become famous, but we don't perform devotional service for achieving fame. Bhavita Vishruta Putro Anavamo Brahmano Gunaihi Ya Etam Atma Viryena Trilokim Pura Ishati. He says, you will have a very auspicious, you will have a very famous son, of course, that is Daksha. No, not less in qualities than Brahma from a material point of view, yes. And he will fill the three worlds with his offspring, which will happen, but of course, not immediately, quite late. It will take almost like 5 more Manvantaras. This whole episode is happening in the Swayambhuva Manvantara, and Daksha will become a progenitor, and he will actually start creating progeny in the 6th Manvantara only, in the Chakshusha Manvantara. So for 5 Manvantaras, he will not actually create any progeny. Kandoho Pramlochaya Labda Kanya Kamalalochana Tamcha Apaviddam Jagruhu Buruha Drupanandana. So then they tell about their future wife. They say that actually a very beautiful daughter was born to sage Kandu and the heavenly Apsara Pramlocha. But after her birth, both Pramlocha did not want to take care of that daughter. She went back to the heavens. Kandu also did not want to take the responsibility of taking care of that child. So he also left. And finally, Indra came and he took care of that child. Sorry, Soma. Soma, the king of the trees, he came and he took care of that child. And she became like the daughter of Soma. And Praja Visarga Adishtaha Pitra Mam Anuvartata Tatra Kanyam Vararoham Tam Udvahata Machiram. Pitra Adishtaha, ordered by your father who is obedient to me. Actually, this is a news for the Prachetas. If you just think about it, when Prachinavarhi ordered the Prachetas to go and perform austerities, at that time he was a hardcore Karmakandi. Then, while Lord Shiva was preaching to the Prachetas, Lord Shiva's brother Narada Muni was preaching to Prachinavarhi. So, therefore, the Prachetas are not necessarily aware. So, the Supreme Lord is giving them a news. Ordered by your father who is obedient to me. Actually, he is telling that your father is very obedient to me. So, to produce progeny, please go to that place and marry this beautiful young woman without delay. So, the name of that daughter of Kandu and Marish, and Pramlocha is Marisha. The name is given later in the sixth canto, it is mentioned. So, Marisha marries, the Supreme Lord orders the Prachetas to marry Marisha. Apritak dharma shila naam sarvesham vaha sumadhyama. Apritak dharma shila yam bhuyat patni arpit. She will have qualities very similar to yours, and therefore there will not be any problem in all of you marrying her. There will be very, very good mutual understanding. Divya varsha sahasranam sahasram ahataujasah bhauman bhokshyata bhogan vai divyamscha anugrahan mama. And then he says, with undiminished power for 3000 devata years, you will enjoy 1000 earthly and heavenly pleasures by my mercy. So he's actually, it is mentioned later that the Prachetas were slight karma mishra bhaktas. They were mixed devotees. They were not exactly pure devotees. That is why such kind of sort of benedictions are given to them. Atamai anapayanya bhaktya pakva gunashayaha upayasyata madhama nirvidya nirayad ataha. Then he says, O men whose hearts have all gunas burned up by undiminished bhakti. Pakva guna ashayaha. Ashayaha. Your hearts have become completely purified by anapayinya bhaktya, by undiminished bhakti. After earthly enjoyment, disgusted with all material places which are equivalent to hell, you will attain my abode. So you will enjoy the material opulences, and after that, you will become disgusted. Then you will come back to my abode. Like that, he promises, don't worry, you will not get stuck up in this material world. Griheshu avishatam chapi pumsam kushala karmanam madvarta yata yamanam na bandaya grihamataha. The Prachetas may think, why are you putting us in this material world after giving your darshan? Actually, Dhruva Maharaj also felt, kacham vichenvan api divya ratnam swamin kritartosmi varamnayache. My dear Lord, after having your darshan, which is compared to diamonds and rubies, I am very ashamed that I was asking you from broken pieces of glasses like that. So the Prachetas may also think, my dear Lord, why are you leaving us here in this way and going? And you are letting us in this householder life. What will happen to us? So the Lord says, householders, griheshu avishatam pumsam kushala karmanam. Householders, who are, griheshu avishatam pumsam means householders, kushala karmanam, who perform acts of devotion, madvarta yata yamanam, while spending all time in discussing topics about me. So, just recently I came to know about this Bhakti Sangha group, and I heard that from morning till night, starting from japa till night, constant Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and children programs are continuously going on. So practically I see everyone is a householder here. So householders who perform acts of devotion while spending all time in discussing topics about me are not bound by household life. So Brahmaji also says in the 10th canto, tavad ragadayas tenas tavat karagraham graham Tavan Mohongri Nigado Yavat Krishna Natejana. In the after the Brahma Vimohan Lila, when offering his prayers, he says, Tavat Ragadayas Tena. Attachment to one's household matters will become a thief which steals away all of one's credits. Tavat Karagraham Graham, and the house will become a prison house binding one to this material world. Tavat Mohongri Nigado, and one's affectionate feelings towards one's family members will become foot shackles binding one to this material world. Yavat Krishna Natejana. Only as long as that person is not a devotee and his family members are not devotees. So the moment one becomes devoted, one's family members become devoted, or one is consciously endeavoring to give a good experience to his family members so that they can become devoted to Krishna. So such a relationship will not bind one, such a householder relationship will not bind one to this material world. Yavat Krishna Natejana. As long as they are not your people, as long as they are not devoted to you, that attachment to family will bind them to this material world. Otherwise, that attachment to the family member is attachment to a Vaishnava. And the highest perfection of life is to develop towards other Vaishnavas. So therefore, such a thing will actually enhance one's progress in devotional service. So that kind of householder life, one should aspire for. One should not be afraid of such a householder life. And then, this is the last verse that we saw. Navyavad hridaye yajnyo brahmaitad brahmavadibihi na muyyanti na shochanti na hrishyanti yato gataha. Those who have attained my form, which is known as Brahman by the followers of Brahman, are not bewildered. They do not lament and do not rejoice, since I, full of knowledge, have entered their fresh lotus hearts. So this is like a recap. So now we will take one theme from the purport and see how far we can go. And if we have time, we will take the next theme like that. We will go ahead. So ideally, I would have liked to, because we have just done the recap, I will not pause for Q&A or discussion. So I will take this first theme one, and then subsequently, we will see if there are any quick comments, questions, discussions. Then we will take. If not, we can pause towards the end and take question and answers at one shot only. That is also possible. So now we will take one section from Srila Prabhupada's purport and try to discuss on this point. Is chanting really tasty? Actually, I just joined a few minutes before the scheduled time, and I could see devotees very intensely chanting. So I'm just wondering, should I present this or not? Because most of you might say, yes, chanting is so tasty, it's so relishable. But many of us may not necessarily feel that way. So as Srila Prabhupada writes, we will read that section of the purport again. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh, and so on. And he talks about Rupa Goswami asking for millions of ears and tongues. And then Prabhupada says, there is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. Towards the end, he gives a caveat. So now we are talking about taste for chanting or taste for any limb of devotional service. We will see how this journey progresses. This is a gradual journey, as we all might have realized. I'm going to take something very simple, which you all know by heart and you are practicing it very well. So just to reinforce the faith in basics, I will just take this part from basic nectar of instruction only I'm going to take. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, he starts nectar of instruction by presenting to us a proposition. Sarvam apimam prithivimscha shishyat. Do you want to make disciples all over the world? Do you want to become a Jagat Guru? Who does not want? Everyone wants to become Jagat Guru. So he says, very simple. Just follow six things. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam, etan vegan yo vishaheta dhira, sarvan apimam prithivimscha shishyat. So just control these six urges. The urge to speak. And manasa vegam, when the mind goes haywire, just control it. When anger comes, just keep quiet. Don't respond. When the tongue screams to eat palatable foodstuffs, don't respond. Just tolerate. And when the belly screams to fill up, don't respond. And similarly to the genitals. So just, control these six urges and you are ready to become the next Jagat Guru. So, but actually we know in reality, this is not so easy. It's so difficult. So we say, okay, I agree, it's difficult. So how do I accomplish this? So how do I become, how do I develop the ability to tolerate these six urges? So he says, by developing the internal wiring. So these six urges, if you see, they are conditional urges. Conditional urges means when one becomes hungry, there is this udaravegam, the craving of the stomach. As soon as you put some food inside, and when the hunger gets pacified, you no longer feel the urge to eat. There is pacification of hunger. Similarly, sometimes we may get a craving to eat a piece of sweet. Like generally, after I have a hearty meal, I get this craving, at least a small piece of sweet. If nothing, at least a small piece of jaggery, if I can get, I get that craving. As soon as I put a small piece in my mouth, that craving is gone. So these six urges are conditional urges. They are not there 24 hours a day. But in order to control them, when they come, something we need to do 24 hours a day. Like for example, I studied in a boarding school, a military school, where they were training people to join the armed forces. Fortunately for them, I did not qualify, or I discontinued the school after my 10th standard. But, there day in and day out, right from morning 5 o'clock till night 9 o'clock, you are trained to develop a physique, to develop a mental state, which is very conducive to join the armed forces. Okay. And this is just the school. And after that, when you get into the National Defense Academy, then it's a lifelong training. And the training is to the battlefield training. What will happen when you are put on the battlefield? You should be battle ready. So many times people may not see the battle at all. They may not see the battlefield at all. But to be battle ready, one needs to train day in and day out. It's not like, okay, when the battle comes, we will see. So the six urges are like battle. But whether we will be able to successfully win this battle of six urges depends on how we have spent our life day in and day out. Do we have the internal wiring to actually resist these six urges? So how do we develop this internal wiring? It starts with a conscious lifestyle choice. That's what Srila Rupa Goswami says in the next two verses. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. He says these six things destroy one's bhakti. So atyahara. Atyahara means eating too much or collecting more than necessary. For example, whenever there is an opportunity to eat, if we eat more than necessary, then when the urge to eat comes, we cannot resist it actually. So therefore, you see, the jihva vegam or udara vegam is a conditional urge, but atyahara is a conscious choice. I can say I will not eat more. So when we don't overeat, then our ability to resist the urge of the tongue or the belly is more. Prayashascha, endeavors that are opposed to bhakti. So in our day-to-day life, if we, this is a conscious choice we can do. Endeavor we are all inclined to, and to maintain ourselves and our family, that is an absolute necessity. So, here he says that, try to avoid endeavors which are opposed to bhakti. And then he says, prajalpa. Prajalpa means mundane talks. So, whenever we get an opportunity, if we indulge in mundane talks, then the urge to speak cannot be controlled. And niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means either failure to adopt essential regulations, you say, I am an essence man. I am not a details man. I will follow the essence. These details are not very important for advanced devotees like me. Someone may feel like that. Or someone may get so much into the details but forget the essence. So both are two types of niyamagraha. Of course, you know all these things. Then janasanga. Janasanga means association with persons who are opposed to bhakti. This also slowly weakens our faith and resolve to progress in bhakti. And when that faith and resolve gets weakened, our ability to overcome the six urges also is weakened. And laulyam. Laulyam means greed, or it also refers to restlessness of the mind to adopt worthless opinions. So we cannot be engaged with determination in devotional service if we take the opinions of all kinds of people too seriously. Those who may not be devotees also. So in this way, then he talks about the six essential things which enhances one's bhakti. Utsahan. Utsahan means enthusiasm to carry out the rules that enhances one's bhakti. So this is very good, because when we enthusiastically carry out, then the purification happens faster, and when the purification happens faster, then the force of that urge is very, it becomes weaker actually. Then nishchaya. Nishchaya means endeavoring with determination. So you can endeavor with determination only when there is no doubt. So the act of nishchaya includes day to day, when you get any doubt regarding Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, or any statement of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, get it clarified quickly, as quick as possible. Don't let the doubts linger in your heart. That is nishchaya. So that you can dhavan nimilyava netre naskalena patediha. You can run with your eyes closed. Because it's a very clean, free highway without any obstacles. But we need to have faith that it is a very clean, broad, obstacle-free highway. That is nishchaya. Then third is dhairyad. Dhairyad means, patience. Knowing that Krishna's mercy is definitely going to come as long as I stick to my practice of devotional service. It will come, but at its own pace, I cannot force Krishna to respond to my own whims and fancies. So I will wait patiently, but I am sure that Krishna's mercy will definitely come. So that is patience. So one has to be convinced of this and practice it in a day-to-day basis. Tattat karma pravartanat indicates that, understanding what one's duty is. One's duty is the 64 limbs mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then, Sangatyagat. Sangatyagat means giving up illicit connection with women and association of atheistic people. So one should give up that, because that also is very unfavorable lifestyle. So if that is there, then Upasthavegam cannot be controlled. Then Sato Vritte, a conscious endeavor to try to follow in the footsteps of great devotees. How they have lived their lives, trying to follow in their footsteps. So these two verses indicate the basic lifestyle that is very conducive. Every day in National Defense Academy, they wake them up early in the morning, and then, there is physical training, there is obstacles and whatnot, everything. So a basic lifestyle, which is very conducive. But now you may say, the 6+6 to follow on a day-to-day basis, it's not very easy. Yes, actually, it's not very easy to practice it alone. So you need good association. You need the association of people with whom you can practice. So how to gather that association, in whose company I can practice this lifestyle? So he says the means is, Dadati pratigrannati guhyamakyati pruchati bhungte bhojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. These six exchanges, you all know about this. Dadati pratigrannati, giving gifts and accepting gifts in return. Because this give and take policy actually generates it creates a pathway for the flow of emotions and for the establishment of a relationship. Actually, many times, especially those who have taken up the, either Brahmacharya Ashram or so, they have the wrong understanding, or it could be anyone, it's not Ashram specific, that the goal of life is to become self-sufficient. We may have self-sufficient communities. As a community, we may want to become self-sufficient, but individually, the goal of our life is not to become self-sufficient. The goal of our life is to become interdependent. I remember one very powerful lesson in my life. This was very, very early in my ashram life when I had joined. We had just completed our Brahmachari training. And our Brahmachari training in charge, he took all of us to the river and he personally shaved all of us up for joining the ashram. And then few days later, he was in the bathroom and he asked me, "Hey, can you please shave me up?" And I said, "Yes, Prabhu, sure, definitely, why not?" But then I just told him, "Prabhu, just few days back, I shaved for the first time. And you know what? I have learned how to shave myself up." And he had already spent like 10, 12 years in the ashram by then. So he looked at me with great pity. And he told me, "Do you think I don't know how to shave myself up?" I said, "I don't know. Then why are you asking me?" I didn't tell him, but I was just giving him that look. He said, "Look, the goal of life, our goal of life in Krishna consciousness is not to become self-sufficient. If I take this one help from you, then I have a reason to feel grateful towards you. Then I will do something to express that gratitude. So in this way, we have some reason to have some exchanges, and it will help us forge a good relationship. The ultimate goal of life, is that. For that, you know, in fact, I know that you have just learnt shaving, and you might, while shaving me, you might cut me also. And I did cut him. And if he would have shaved himself, in a very less time, he would have shaved himself. But, you know, he told me, and which at that time I was very new and I could not understand. But as years are passing in Krishna consciousness, that one statement that he made is making a very profound impact in my heart, actually. So these six exchanges, actually, this give and take actually provides a very beautiful conduit for favorable emotions to flow back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that is what actually keeps us enthused. Like, you know, if you have to travel alone, then you need a very comfortable, you know, like an AC train or a flight like that. But if you are traveling in a group with, you know, like-minded friends, fun-loving friends, you know, you have a same definition of fun, you know, very affectionate, having affection towards each other, then we can stand through the whole journey and travel. It becomes so easy. So the same is true with, you know, these the journey of devotional service also. That when it is done in the association of like-minded devotees, like Srila Rupa Goswami says, Sajatiya Ashes Nigde Sadhu Sangha Svatovare. So he says that four qualities when you choose association. He says, Sajatiya Ashe. Sajatiya Ashe means like-minded. So like-minded has various levels. So when someone just fresh into devotional service, for him, like-minded means devotee is like-minded association. Non-devotee is not like-minded devotion, not like-minded association. That is the basic. Then after practicing devotional service for a while, then the definition of like-minded association changes. Then the definition becomes, maybe both of them relish the same limb of devotional service, or maybe both of them have this appreciation for the same spiritual master, like that. So that becomes like-mindedness. Then when one progresses still further and comes to the level of practicing Raganuga Bhakti, then if someone, let's say if someone is aspiring for Sakyaras and someone else is also aspiring for the same Sakyaras, then that becomes the like-minded association. So the definition of like-mindedness becomes more and more refined as and when one progresses in devotional service. Okay. So Sajatiya Ashes Nigde. So two people might be like-minded, but if there is no affectionate relationship, then two like-minded persons will compete with each other. But if there is affection, then they will come together and relish that same activity. So Sajatiya Ashes Nigde Sadhu Sangha. That is very important. It must be a devotees association only. Otherwise, two people can be like-minded. They may have affection, but their like-mindedness might be in coming together and watching cricket match. So that is not true. It should be actually Sadhu Sangha. And Swato Vare. Swato Vare means, the fourth quality is, one should choose an association, association of that person who is more advanced than oneself. Or one should choose an association of that person in whose association both people become mutually more inspired in Krishna consciousness. Like that. Mutually inspiring association. Okay. So in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Sadrichino hyayam loke pantaha kshemo akuto bayah shushila sadavo yatra narayana parayana. So and this is possible only in the association of devotees, because he says the devotees are shushila. Shushila means very friendly. They're naturally friendly because the practice of devotional service is very conducive for developing such qualities. On top of that, by Srila Rupa Goswami explains that, you know, follow these six basic principles and develop a good relationship. So that even though this lifestyle that has been mentioned in verse 2 and verse 3 may seem to be very difficult and impractical, but in the association of like-minded, affectionate, exalted devotees, you get a very positive synergy which can inspire all of us so that together we can progress. Now the question is, with whom should I have the six exchanges? He says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya nindadi shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. So he talks about the three kinds of devotees: the Kanishtadhikari, one who chants the holy name, mentally offering obeisances; the Madhyamadhikari, who has become qualified to accept diksha, dikshasti chet, then you offer him physical obeisances. Then bhajana vigyam, ananyam bhajana vigyam, one who is actually very advanced in undeviated devotional service, and anya nindadi shunya hridam, and one whose heart is completely free from the propensity to criticize others. You very earnestly seek his association and try to render very sincere service to him. So if one is very fortunate to have that kind of an association, very good. Have six exchanges with such person and then intensify the association. If you are not so fortunate, then look for a Madhyamadhikari. If you are not so fortunate, even a Kanishtadhikari would do. Have these six exchanges and enhance each other's association like that. But then there is a pitfall. When we come together in the association of devotees, we will naturally start seeing their conditioning. Drishtai swabhava janitair vapushascha doshair na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyet gangambasam na kalubudbuddha fena pankair brahma dravatvam apagacchati nira dharmair. He says, drishtair swabhava janitair doshair. So when you come in touch with a devotee, you can see two types of faults. One is swabhava janita dosha. Swabhava janita dosha means faults which are born out of one's conditioning. You may see that a devotee is greedy. Sometimes he's acting in a very weird way. He has his own idiosyncrasies, which may not be very attractive. Or sometimes you may see a devotee who has some bodily faults. Vapushascha doshair. Like before coming to Krishna consciousness, he might have been chewing tobacco or whatever, and he might have some stained teeth. And looking at his stained teeth, you feel very disgusted and you don't want to take his association. Like that. But Rupa Goswami says, na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyet. Don't even see it as material. And then he gives the example of Ganga. Gangambasam na kalubudbuddha fena pankair. When you come to Ganga, especially during the monsoon season, or any river for that matter, it will be very, turgid. With lot of sand particles and bubbles. But Brahma Dravatvam na apagacchati. Ganga's ability to purify is not compromised. Apparently physically, even though it may look dirty, but the spiritual ability of Ganga water to purify is not compromised. So therefore, he says that similarly, a devotee's ability to purify or spiritually elevate the another devotee is not compromised, even though there may be some swabhava janita dosha or vapushascha dosha. But Rupa Goswami is specifically making a point to mention this clearly, because we are very much prone to fall prey to this one thing. Like we have one devotee in Radha Gopinath who actually is trying to arrange for the whole devotee congregation, you know, the very good quality food items, which they can trustworthy, which they can close their eyes and purchase and cook for Krishna. So some of the devotees, they told him, Prabhuji, you are getting everything. Why don't you get some bottled Ganga water for us? This is very important. The devotee said, oh yeah, that is very easy. is it okay that I just get some bottles, fill Ganga water and give it to you? They said, no, Prabhuji, absolutely that is not agreeable. He said, why? He said, you nicely distill that water, heat it, distill it, remove all the junk from that Ganga water and just give us distilled Ganga water. So then he asked, why? Dirty Ganga water will not purify. So they said, Prabhuji, why you are putting us in embarrassment? You know, can you give us some distilled Ganga water or not? Like that. So which means, even though we know for sure Ganga water can purify, or even Radha Kund water for that matter. But the point is, we are so conditioned to see only the conditioning of other living entities and not look, we are not trained to look beyond the conditioning. We are not trained to look beyond the sadhaka, look beyond the conditioning layer, the actual sadhaka who is trying his level best with all his conditionings to try to serve Krishna, please Krishna, please Guru. We are not willing to take that leap. So this can be a serious obstacle in our progress. So therefore, Rupa Goswami is pointing out. Actually, if you see, Nectar of Instruction gives, verse 2 to verse 8. Or you can say verse 9, you can say. Verse 2 to verse 9, in hardly 7-8 verses, it gives how you start from the beginning stages till prema. So therefore, in such a short work, there is no scope for even little bit of redundancy. So therefore, he's making it very clear that this is a very critical thing. Learn to look beyond the conditioning. So learn to separate the conditioning. Krishna also says, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Like that. Then, now that you have learned how to establish that relationship through the six exchanges, and you are very cautious to avoid looking at the conditioning of the other devotees, now what? In their association, what will we do? What should we do? So, it is mentioned, Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pittopa Tapta Rasanasyana Rochikanu Kintvadarad Anudinam Kalusaiva Jushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavati Tadgada Moolahantri. He says that actually when we start the process of devotional service, not just start, actually start and practice for a long time. Krishna Nama Charita Adi Nama Rupa Guna Leela Sita Api, even though they are sweet like sugar candy, but still they taste very bitter. That is reality. So in the association, why we all are coming together in the association to chant? Because alone we know how difficult it is to chant, because we don't have that taste. A beautiful example he gives, when someone is afflicted with jaundice, according to Ayurveda, jaundice is caused due to bile disorder. Of course, even according to the allopathy also. So at that time, it is mentioned that a layer of pitta or bile is formed on the tongue. So on that bile layer, whenever any sweet thing touches, it tastes actually bitter. So he says that avidya pittopatapta rasanasya. So our sadhaka's tongue is coated with the layer of past material vasanas, past material impressions of enjoyment. So that tongue, that eyes, those ears, they cannot actually relish Krishna Nama Rupa Guna and Leela. But what is the solution for jaundice? So sugarcane juice is the solution for jaundice. Even though that sugarcane juice tastes bitter, So, but kintu adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. With great regularity, if one takes up to the process of Krishna consciousness, just like a person afflicted with jaundice, with great respect, regularity and regulation takes that sugarcane juice, then what happens? Gradually, day by day, that sugarcane juice tastes less and less bitter. And at some stage, it does not taste bitter. It is tasteless. And after some time, it starts tasting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So therefore, swadvi kramad bhavati. Gradually, it becomes tasty. So many times, we feel that we hear and we may ourselves feel that Prabhuji, after so many years, I don't think I'm progressing in devotional service. So yes, why do you feel so? Because I have not developed any taste for chanting and hearing. Okay. So now he says taste comes after steady practice. So that's what he says here. Kintu adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. He says that if one practices with great regularity, respect and regulation, then swadvi kramad bhavati, gradually taste manifests. But many times we postpone that regular, regulated, respectful practice of devotional service to I will do it after I get the taste for practicing. So Srila Rupa Goswami says that after nishta only ruchi comes. Nishta means steady practice. Somehow we expect ruchi before nishta, before endeavoring for nishta. That is why we feel very disappointed and we feel we are not progressing in devotional service. So this is one of the major obstacles. But if we, irrespective of taste, whether we get taste or not, if we are focused on regular, respectful, regulated practice of devotional service, then gradually one gets taste. But actually, even before that, it's not that there is no taste. Like once there was a guru and a disciple. The guru was from Vrindavan. He initiated his disciple and sent him to another city or another village to worship deities in a particular temple. So he was worshipping the deities while practicing his sadhana for a long time. And he was deeply yearning to meet his guru because he was feeling a little despondent. And after a few years, his guru actually comes to meet him. The disciple feels very, very happy. So he serves his guru very nicely for a few days. And after a few days, while massaging his feet, the disciple asks the guru, Guru Maharaj, I have some serious question to ask you. Gurudev says, yes, what is it? And then he says that I don't think I am progressing in devotional service. Guru Maharaj says, why? Because I don't think I am getting any taste in chanting the process that you have given me. So he said, okay. Then the guru thought for a while and then he said, okay, give it up. The disciple thought he didn't hear properly. He said, Guru Maharaj, what did you say? He said, yeah, you're not getting any taste. Give it up. He immediately, with tears pouring from his eyes, the disciple fell at the feet of the guru and he said, Guru Maharaj, you please take my life away. Please don't take my sadhana away from me. He started crying. And then the guru started laughing. And he said, just now you said you don't have any taste. So I am just taking some tasteless object out of you, away from you. Why do you have to cry? So then the guru explained that, look, you think that there is no taste, but in the initial stages of devotional service, the taste that comes out of that practice of devotional service is used to fight the anarthas. That is why we don't experience that taste. Like sugarcane juice is always tasty, but that sugarcane juice first fights to remove that layer of pitta from the tongue. Once that layer is removed, then that same sugarcane juice tastes very sweet. So if we are not getting any taste from our practice of devotional service, where are we getting the strength to fight our anarthas? Many of our anarthas we have fought already, and some we are fighting. So it is just like if someone has purchased a house with a big loan, and let's say his monthly salary is actually 1 lakh, but then 80,000 goes in paying off the EMI of the house, and he gets only 20,000 in hand. So he is wondering, I am slogging 12 hours a day, I am getting only 20,000 in hand. So what he should understand is 20,000 in hand and 80,000 to pay off that EMI for that house loan that you have only purchased. And once that EMI is paid off, then the whole 1 lakh is for you to enjoy. So similarly, but that endeavor to pay off that EMI should be there. So once anartha nivritti is accomplished and nishta is achieved, then gradually ruchi comes. And when that ruchi comes, and then when it matures into asakti, bhava and prema, I'm just rushing because we are running short of time. Then suddenly, even though the urge for vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam comes, the person does not notice because he has developed the higher taste. So then you say, hey, look, you're not responding to the urge of speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly and genitals. You are ready to become the Jagadguru. Come, we will coronate you as the Jagadguru. And he says, please don't disturb me. I have no time for all that. I am so much relishing my association with Krishna in Vrindavan that I don't have any time for any of that, like that he feels. So when Prabhupada here is talking about taste, and in our own life we may feel why am I not getting taste? Actually, before ruchi comes, shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha navritti, nishtha, and then comes ruchi. And there is a gradual thing, you know, you have to follow the lifestyle that is favorable, and then you have to take the association and do the necessary exchanges in that association, avoid seeing the faults of other devotees, and in their association, if we do regular, regulated, and respectful practice of devotional service, then gradually that taste comes like that. So anyway, I think I have few more sections, themes, but I think at this point I will pause for some quick comments, questions, discussions, if there are any. If there is none, then I will quickly go describe the life of Sarang Thakur in a few minutes, and then we can end today's session. But before that, if there are any quick comments, questions, discussions, we will take for a while.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. You gave very good examples. It's really very easy to understand. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please contact.
Yeah, you can please feel free to share your reflections, your thoughts. If you want to have some discussions, we can have.
Hare Krishna, Balram Shakti Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Prabhuji, first of all, I would like to thank you, Prabhu, for your very detailed classes on each chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam at Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth. And they have been very, very helpful. Thank you for that, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, my questions are like, you mentioned about Falastuti, Prabhu, right? You gave a very good, nice analysis of Falastuti, why they are there. We are also practicing devotees, so we may be attracted to Falastuti. And is that also fine, Prabhuji? Or it is meant for?
I mean, the fact that you are asking this question probably means that you are probably not feeling fine completely. Otherwise, you would not ask this question.
Yeah, Prabhu, these
Yes, Prabhuji, yes, yes. Very, very true, Prabhuji.
I mean, if the desire is there, it is there. But I am sure there must be some pinprick that you must be asking for something better, right?
Yeah, they are mentioned, right, Prabhuji? It's in the Bhagavatam. Right?
It's there in the Bhagavatam, but it is not necessarily meant for attracting pure devotees. So, there are so many things which are there in Bhagavatam, but there are descriptions of demigod worship in the second canto. There is a description of Ashtanga Yoga in the third canto by Kapila Dev. Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga in the third canto by Kapila Dev, in the 11th canto by Krishna to Uddhava. So that does not necessarily mean we are supposed to practice them. So yes, the Phalashruti is there. But if that is what we want really, then we will get that. But if we are embarrassed by that desire, then Krishna will remove that desire. Is that relevant to?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, this is what I was wondering about Phalastuti, how to think about it when this it came up in this chapter. And one more thing, Prabhu, Prachetas, right? There are 10 individual souls. And each soul is separate and it has its own nature and devotion towards the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, how can we say, you know, one thing is, why did they marry only one? Why did they have only one wife, right?
Why did they have only one wife?
Yeah. And how is their individuality reflected, Prabhuji? How is their individuality reflected? Like, how can we see their individuality
in that
also?
In that married life or in general?
No, in general. Individuality in general.
I mean, individuality, I mean, further how they ruled and all that is not mentioned.
Okay.
Maybe they did, they must have definitely engaged in separate activities. You know, they must have their own jurisdictions. So it's not mentioned in Bhagavatam, so I cannot comment on that. Why all of them married one? That is also not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So if there was a comment, and I don't recollect reading either Srila Prabhupada or Vishnu Jagadakur or Jiva Goswami commenting on that particular aspect. Why 10 of them married one? I don't know actually.
Okay, no problem, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one thing you mentioned about super soul, Prabhuji, right? Super soul. Prabhupada, I think this it came up, right?
In the
upper purports. Sometimes you know we say we attribute it to super soul, and sometimes we attribute things, say it's a spiritual master or devotee association. So how do we differentiate, Prabhuji? Mm-hmm. Which one is which?
So one, So they work conjointly. Once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was asked by one of the disciples that, Maharaj, I am doing so many things. How do I know that you would know what I am doing and with what mood I am doing? Because it's not that I communicate everything to you. So Maharaj said, through the super soul. the exalted devotees are in line. They have that antenna to, understand the message that the Supreme Lord is giving to them. So, and that is why actually Vyasadeva, while addressing Narada Muni, he says, Antascharo Vayu Rivatma Sakshi, in that particular verse, he says that Tvam Paryatan Arka Ivasti Lokim Antascharo Vayu Rivatma Sakshi. So he says that you are moving in and around, in and out like air, you know everything inside, just like the super soul. So the spiritual master is very much in sync with the super soul. That trust we must have. So like that. So it's not wrong to say that the super soul's inspiration or the spiritual master's inspiration, like that. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your wonderful class today. And the review of the first few verses and nectar of instruction also, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu. Last will ask Prabhu. Hare
Krishna. Prabhuji, so first of all, thank you very much. It was a wonderful presentation on how to go towards chanting with taste from the perspective of nectar of instruction, from the, you know, the first verse all the way till the seventh or eighth verse. Also, the point that you mentioned about the goal of life is not to become self-sufficient, it is to become interdependent. I thought that was a brilliant point. My attitude is always not to take help from others to become more and more self-reliant. But the point that you just made, it's a wonderful point, and we would like to apply it now. Thank you very much for mentioning that. One thing I wanted to actually share is, I think in the past couple of months, I read a book by His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj. It's called Broken Names. And there was just one point in that whole book that I found very inspiring, and I thought I would practice it. And that point was trying to chant with affection, because many times, you know, even in kirtans and everything, the kirtankar, they will say, you know, chant with love, prem se kaho, you know, they keep saying that, but I never tried to consciously do that. And so my one application that has been there for the past couple of months is to chant with affection. I'm trying to chant with affection. And my experience has been that, whereas before that, my chanting was pretty much all mechanical, no taste, nothing. But as soon as I started trying to chant with affection, I mean, I don't claim that I have a lot of affection or anything, but I've been trying to chant with my chanting has transformed. I mean, my experience has been that my chanting has transformed. It's at a totally different level now. You know, so some of those things that, you know, I wish I had millions of years and all that, I could not really appreciate or even relate to many of those statements. But now when I try to chant with affection, sometimes, I don't claim it's all the time, but sometimes I get that slight appreciation for these moods that the acharyas express just by trying to chant with affection. And another experience is that when I chant with affection, I don't have to struggle with my mind, you know, always to bring it back to Krishna's name and all that. It almost happens organically. It's not like there is always this struggle, mind is going here. No. Because that emotion is invested in the chanting, the mind automatically stays with the chanting. It's not like I have to constantly struggle, okay, bring the mind back. So I thought I would just share that. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you. I mean, Rasvilas Prabhu was the devotee who, because of whom I am chanting 16 rounds. You know, he was the one who pushed me at Penn State to, you know, you should chant 16 rounds. He literally actually bullied me to chanting 16 rounds. So very grateful to him. Now he's indicating that now you should start chanting with affection. So hopefully I'll put that into practice. Thank you, Rasvilas Prabhu. Thank you very much. Anyone else would like to share something? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I just wanted to thank you for the class. You made so many wonderful points, your Balashruti points, I'm sorry. Your nectar of instruction points were wonderful. Also the comment that Prabhuji just commented on, that he really appreciated about the interrelation rather than self sufficiency or self dependence. And also, just the entire class was wonderful, and I hope you come back again. I just want to say thank you for everything. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Okay, anything?
No.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to say that when I heard that benediction, it actually inspired me to want to have friends, more friends, devotee friends. and to be kind to the living entities. I've had that relationship with bugs and snakes and whatever. Whenever I'm somewhere, Krishna shows me there's a living entity to assist, and I run and get Gangat water or whatever for snakes. And even taking the yogurt out of the fridge, there was a gnat in there from the day before, and I washed him with a drop of water and he flew away. So I took those the phala shruti as a benediction to apply in my devotional life.
Yeah. Nice one. Actually, it is mentioned that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is mentioned that one of the second benefit of practicing pure devotional service says is Shubhada. So Shubhada means it bestows auspiciousness. And Srila Rupa Goswami says there are four aspects of Shubhada. He says the first aspect is Jagat Preenanam. So Jagat Preenanam means one becomes very compassionately and affectionately disposed towards all living entities. And then he says Sarva Jagatam Anurakta, which means all the living entities become so affectionately disposed towards a practitioner of bhakti. So these are the first two characteristics, he says. And then he says, Sadgunadi Pradatvam, all the good qualities manifest in that person. And Sukha Pradatvam, he becomes very happy. So no doubt that, the very fact that you get, you feel very excited about hearing that benediction in itself shows that, you know, from your act of, caring for small living entities, as Prabhupada also said, chant Hare Krishna for that poor thing, for that small ant or something. Prabhupada said that is natural Vaishnava compassion. So that is very good. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Krishna Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very amazing, nice presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, if there are no further comments, do we have a few minutes to just read about Sarang Thakur?
Yes, Prabhuji. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. So I will just skip the intermediate themes and I will just go to the life of Sarang Thakur. It's just, there's not much material mentioned. I will just briefly speak about Sarang Thakur. So Sarang Thakur's, the various biographies, it talks about his name to be Sarang Thakur, Sarang Murari Thakur, Sarangapani, Sarangadara, and so on. So then, actually, Sarang Thakur, his worshipable deities were Radha Gopinath deities. And and interestingly, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, whose appearance day is also, today or tomorrow, depending on wherever you are, the deities that he installed in Chaupati temple, he also named it Radha Gopinath. Coincidence. Na? So Sarang Thakur was so dedicated to worshipping the deities, he would collect all rice and fruits and everything for the deities. And throughout the day, he would serve the deities with great love, constantly chanting the holy name. And in the evening, he would cross the Ganga, and because he lived in Mamgachi. Today it's called Mamgachi. Previously it was called as Modadrum Dweep, one of the nine islands of Navadweep. So he would cross the Ganga, go to Shivas Thakur's house to participate in the kirtans with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was his dedication to both kirtanam and archanam. So very lovingly he would serve the Radha Gopinath deities. The deities are still there in Modadrum Dweep. And there was a very, very nice bakul tree in the house of Sarang Thakur. And one day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he saw that the bakul tree was actually drying up and dying. And he asked Sarang Thakur, what about this bakul tree? What are you going to do about this? It's drying up. And Sarang Thakur said, my dear Lord, except for your mercy, without your mercy, there is no hope for this tree. It will just dry up and die down. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and embraced that tree. And immediately the tree came to full life, actually. And that bakul tree is still there in Modadrindvip now. So the picture that you see here, it's the very same bakul tree which is there in Modadrindvip, in the place of Sarang Thakur. And behind you see the Radha Gopinath temple. And there's a very famous story of Sarang Thakur accepting a disciple. So Sarang Thakur, the humble devotee that he was, he never wanted to accept a disciple. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forced him, no, you should accept a disciple. And then finally Sarang Thakur said, fine. So tomorrow morning, the first person that I see, I will initiate him. So next day morning, he wakes up early in the morning, walks towards Ganga, hoping to see that person whom he can initiate. But interestingly, on that particular day, he didn't see anyone. So he reached Ganga, entered into the waters of Ganga. He didn't see anyone. Suddenly, he experienced someone was touching his feet, or something was touching his feet. And he saw it was the dead body of a small child. So he was shocked. What is this? I am seeing that the first person that I see is a dead body. So he picked up that child, and then from behind he heard the voice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, oh Saranga, chant the mantra into that child's ears and accept him as your disciple. So then Sarang Thakur chants the mantra into the ears of the child, and then suddenly the child comes to life. So actually, and then he tells a story. He says that, my dear Lord, my name is Murari, the child says. Actually, on the day of his sacred thread ceremony, Upanayana Samskar, he actually, a snake bit the child and the child died. And it was the practice that for such a small child would not be cremated. So they picked up a banana stem, and in that cover of that banana stem, they put the child and allowed it to float down the Ganga. So that is generally the procedure that they used to follow for a small child. So, and that child was floating on that banana, banana trunk cover, and then it hit Sarang Thakur. And then when he chanted the mantra into his ears, he came to life. So from that day onwards, because he had such a very interesting disciple, Murari. So from that day on, Sarang Thakur was also called as Sarang Murari Thakur, like that. This boy was named as Murari Chaitanya. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, talks about this Murari Chaitanya. He says, this Murari Chaitanya was such an empowered devotee that he would run behind tigers and jump on their back and ride the tiger. And the tiger, by the sight and touch of Murari Chaitanya, he would become so sober and nice that he would allow Murari Chaitanya to ride on his back. And at other times, this Murari Chaitanya would pick up a huge snake, a python, and put it on his lap, and then, you know, pet the snake like that. So it is mentioned that this Murari Chaitanya had tremendous mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, because of which he could show some such kind of unbelievable powers. And You see here the picture that you see, the bigger deities are the Gaudiama deities, and the medium sized deities right below Radharani, they are the Radha Gopina deities of Sarang Thakur. And on the right of Radha Gopina deities, the smaller Radha Krishna deities are Shri Shri Radha Madan Gopal deities of Vasudev Dutt. And the above the Radha Madan Gopal deities are the Gaur Gadadhar deities, which also belongs to the Gaudiya Math. So this is at Modudrum Dweep. And who was Sarang Thakur in Brajalila? So in the Gaur Ganodesha Deepika by Kavikarnapur, he says, Vraje Nandimukhi Yasit Sadhya Saranga Thakuraha Prahlado Manyate Kaishchin Mat Pitra Nasa Manyate. He says, Vraje Nandimukhi Yasit Sa Adya Saranga Thakura. This Sarang Thakur in Gaur Leela, in Krishna Leela, is Nandimukhi Devi, the Vraja Brahmani Nandimukhi Devi. She's one of the gopis there. And he says that some people think that Sarang Thakur is actually an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. But he says, Mat Pitra Nasa Manyate. My father Shivananda Sen does not agree with them. So this Gaur Ganodesha Deepika is brief histories of all the participants in the Gaur Leela, which is written by Shivananda Sen's son, Kavikarnapur. And he says that my father does not agree. Actually, he is not an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. He is actually Nandimukhi Devi, like that, in Krishna Leela. So that's what is available about Sarang Thakur. So at this point, I will stop here just to concluding comments, discussion before we wind up for the day. And I thank you very much for this opportunity. It was very, very nice. Really very grateful.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, that temple is there in Navdeep?
Yeah, yeah, Modudrum Dweep Mataji. It's called as Mamgachi now. So you can take a boat and go by train also. If you take a train towards Katwa, I think it's the second station from Navdweep.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay. So thank you very much for your patient listening. And it was very wonderful to have your association. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for your enlightening class today, Prabhu, and giving your association. We are very grateful to you. Please give us your association regularly, you, whenever you can. If nobody have any question, we can end the call here, paying obeisances to Prabhuji and to all the devotees. Vancha kalpataru
dandavat pranam prabhuji hare krishna